Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Friday, TGIF, May 26, 2023. Along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer, welcome into a Friday edition, Mr. Zommers.
It's Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
It's exactly what we need to start today's show. Exactly what we need. How you doing, my friend?
Doing pretty well. I'm here. I'm awake. Looking forward to the weekend. Doing better than our boy Todd. How are you doing?
I am hanging in there. And I don't want to alarm anyone, particularly my family who occasionally does listen to this show, because I haven't had a chance to talk to anybody this morning. I am fine. I'm going to be fine. If the show seems a little off kilter today, haven't gotten a lot of sleep last night. Spent about 4 hours in the UW emergency room last night with a kidney stone. The old kidneys, I had one of these like 2 years ago. And holy macaroli. Last night, about 10:30, I'm not going to be able to get to sleep here. And then it became, I better go to the ER before I'm going to have to drive. That's the way this show is going to go. Before I have to call an ambulance. Because it's so severe. And I don't mean to be uncouth. But people say, well, what's it like having a kidney stone? The only thing I can describe it as a dude to describe this pain is it's kind of like having really a cross of having really severe gas pains with a really bad case of blue balls. You cross those two, and it's just like this lower abdominal into the back. It's excruciating. So I went to the ER last night. I got out about 4 o'clock, and then went to the pharmacy. And let me tell you, my Sacure medication, it looks like Karen's bag from Will and Grace, who, incidentally, Karen from Will and Grace is my spirit animal. And I've got OxyContin. And I've got coffee. So, I mean, you put Toddy on OxyContin and coffee, it's going to be a heck of a show, let me tell you.
Yeah, hopefully you're fine to drive home later.
The doctor said, are you driving home? I said, heck no, I'm flying. I'll be fine. So I'm feeling okay, but we have a best of at the ready. Should the pain become too much to do. But the show must go on, as they say, Mr. Zommers.
You know, one of my friends had a kidney stone at age like 13.
Oh, my gosh, really?
He did not have a good time.
No, not a good time had by all.
Thankfully, it was very small.
This bugger was 2 millimeters, I guess, a couple of years ago. And now they measured it last night via the CAT scan. And it's 3 millimeters. So it's there are certain, I don't want to get too graphic, but it's just, it ain't pleasant. But we're on medication, and I didn't want to miss today's show. I mean, Luke said, if you want to take the day off, you can, and we'll do a best of. We had one in the can ready to go. But I haven't gotten to talk to Brady Ewing in like over a month, because he was out turkey hunting with you, or I think that's what was happening. And so Brady Ewing's joining us today at the bottom of the show at 8:30, and there's all kinds of things going on. You got possible Big Ten expansion. You got a new commissioner to the Big Ten. Wisconsin football is now 100 days from kickoff. You've got the NFL draft coming to Green Bay in 2025. I needed my Brady time. And that's one of the main reasons to come in. And, of course, to see all of you. And also, coming up a little bit later in the show today, we'll get into depth on this, a hot story. Big story, in all seriousness, from the Wisconsin State Journal this morning by Kimberly Wethall, who is the university and higher ed reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal, wrote a great story yesterday, came out late yesterday afternoon. University of Wisconsin System Universities projected to be $60 million in debt by the end of 2023-24, according to our old friend, tongue-in-cheek, UW System President Jay Rothman. $60 million in debt. You wonder why they closed the Richland campus, and now Rothman's saying four-year campuses could be on the chopping block as well. Complete dereliction of duty. complete incompetence. And as we're finding out more and more, complete lack of transparency by the University of Wisconsin system. So
what
we will
could
get
have caused this terrible turn of events?
All right. And I'm telling you right now, I'll give you a little preview of this. We're going to talk about it later. You know what? I am totally for if Robin Voss, Speaker of the Assembly, and Steve Noss over in the Senate, if they want to conduct a full audit of the UW system from top to down, bottom to up, top to down, to bottom to sideways, I'm all for it. Because something's going on. There was a surplus at UW system not too long ago. Of course, Republicans made them spend that down. A $60 million deficit at the University of Wisconsin, or at the UW system. We'll talk about that a little bit later on this morning in the show. Weather forecast, here it is. It's beautiful. Next subject. I mean, that's really all you need to know, right? It's going to be a beautiful day across the state of Wisconsin. All kinds of sunny weather. Probably could not have dialed up a better Memorial Day weekend forecast. Have we tried? Kara Foster will be in at the bottom of the hour this morning. She will have our complete weather forecast details. It's going to be easy, sunny, and beautiful temperatures. That's about all that's on the dial for the weather forecast this weekend. Be careful if you're on the roads. We'll talk about traveling along the roadways for this holiday weekend. And take a moment to remember those who passed as well, who gave us our freedom, the men and women who died wearing the uniform of the United States of America. And board game of the week with Mr. Aaron Zommers later on in the show as well. Back with news headlines after this. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 8:15 on a Friday morning. TGIF. This is like working. This is like a trapeze artist up there, you know, without a net. You know, trying to do the show on medication and coffee alone on an hour and a half of sleep. I was texting Brady Ewing earlier because he's going to be on the show. We're going to always figure out, you know, the topics a little bit ahead. I was voice texting on the way in. And what I said was, thanks, Brady. So if I seem goofier than usual, that's why. And I just realized what it came out of on voice texting was, thanks, babe. So if I seem goofier than usual, I said, wait a minute, I meant to say Brady. Oh, I know. Oh, such is life. By the way, we have listeners at Richland Center, Mr. Zommers. If you could check on this while we're talking some news headlines. Apparently, we are not on WRCE this morning. Apparently, that is if we want to check on the feed. I'm not sure if that's okay. On the stream or over the air, but
yeah, I'll look.
We're not on the RC station this morning. So if you could check on that, please. And our engineering team, like I said, we've been working on a lot of these technological things right now, or technology. And we're in the process of combining a lot of different stations into one IT brain, for lack of a better term. And so there's a lot of cross-pollination that otherwise wouldn't be there in terms of feeds, this sort of thing. So we apologize. I know it's annoying from a listener's standpoint, not hearing what you're expecting to hear either over the air or on the stream. And we talked about this a couple days ago. Our fine IT team, it's not their fault. They are overwhelmed right now, and it's all coming up to a couple. We changed the way things. Here's things behind the scenes on radio. All right. So when you hear ads, and it's an old guy or 53-year-old guy, you know, and people know me, I don't like change, and I like that when something works, I'm like, why change it? So back in the day, when I started at WRCO, back in high school, we actually had carts. They were called carts, where your ads played. It was like an 8-track tape cart. A physical cart. And all the commercials were recorded on there. And so you put it into a cart machine, a player, and you hit a green button for play when you wanted to play a commercial. Worked pretty darn well. But then, of course, the computers came along, and so now everything is digital. And so it gets programmed in. So if you are, you know, in Richland Center or wherever, you're going to play a commercial, You don't even really have control over it. The computer just does it. Well, that's great until the computer don't work, right? So that's just an example of what's going on. So yeah. A, we're working on the commercial side. Do you have an update, Mr. Somers?
No, not yet. Uh-oh. I was just going to say that currently, because not every station is switched over to the new system yet, the issue we're having is that it's kind of fighting itself.
Right.
But we only have, I believe, two more stations to get switched over, which should happen very soon in the next week or two.
Fingers crossed.
And then most of the problems will go away.
And so we're doing the whole computer system that does our commercials, and then there's an entirely another computer system that links all of our 22, 23 stations, whatever we're up to now, in civic media across the state. So we know it's a bit aggravating when you go to tune us in over the air or online or Facebook or whatever, and things aren't there yet. We're working on it. But keep letting us know. We appreciate it. We'll continue to upgrade things. And that is all leading up to, if you haven't heard the big news, we are expanding, or I shouldn't say expanding, but we're moving time slots. We are starting Monday, June 5th. We are going to the afternoon. And here's why. For those of you who know me, they understand this. For people who don't know me, the Food and Drug Administration has come out with a ruling that the recommended daily dosage of Todd is 2 hours. You don't want to go over the recommended daily dosage of Todd of 2 hours. Right now we're at 3. So the FDA has cut us back to the daily recommended dosage of 2 hours. Also, they want to make the podcasting better and some other things. But we're going to 1 o'clock until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So we appreciate it. And the bigger news is not only are we getting a new time slot, but we're going statewide. So our program will be heard throughout the state of Wisconsin, including Madison, Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, the Fox Valley, Appleton, Green Bay, Hayward, Eau Claire, La Crosse, Amory Richland Center, Wausau, and I believe two or three others. So great, great honor. We're very excited.
And we should be fixed now. The engineering team is on it.
Look at that. Bada bing, bada boom. Mrs. Omers, we appreciate you, our fine engineering folks. We appreciate them as well. And also thanks to our listeners for letting us know. So we are back up and going in the RC. So, but very, very excited to be going statewide starting on June 5th. Monday, June 5th, we'll be going statewide and moving to the 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock time slot in the afternoon. So all those things going on, and we appreciate you bearing with us this morning. Again, coming up at 8:30 after the break, we'll have a complete weather forecast for you from Kara Foster this morning. And then we're also going to have Brady Ewing on after that, talking all things sports until 9 o'clock. In the second hour, we're going to get into the story on the UW system and universities, now $60 million in debt. Quite a story. And a couple other news headlines this morning. I want to take a minute, if you will allow me to, and one of the great privileges of having this microphone is you get to kind of say your piece now and again. I want to give a couple of tributes to two people who have passed away this week in Richland Center or from Richland Center who are near and dear to me. And I want to just give a shout out to their family and recognize them. One was the former First Lady of Richland Center, Mary McCarthy. Tom McCarthy was mayor of Richland Center for many years. His wife, Mary. Not only was Tom and Mary were the mayor and First Lady of Richland Center, dear and near friends to our family. Tom was my hair care professional. In other words, my barber from the time I was born until well into my 30s. And Mary and I worked for years together for 16 years plus for the Betty Hayes Baxter at the Betty Hayes School of Dance. And Mary did all the scenery for years and did a spectacular job. And I went to her school with her daughter, Joelle, and know their son, Tom, as well. Great family, great people. Mary passed away. They had moved to Utah to be closer to Joelle and her family. And Mary and Tom had moved to Utah. And word this week that Mary had passed away. And just want to give my condolences to the family and thank Mary for all of her service to the City of Richland Center, to all the young people through the Betty Hayes School of Dance. Just a tremendous person. And she will be dearly missed, of course, by her family and all of us who had the honor and pleasure to know Mary McCarthy, who passed this week. Also late last night, some unexpected news, And his grandson was on our show here a while back for the Valley Sentinel newspaper for his journalistic work regarding the UW-Richland campus. But my fifth grade teacher, who anybody who has listened to the show has heard me talk about, Otis Scott, passed away unexpectedly in his late 80s now, or in his 80s, I should say. But Otis Scott passed away unexpectedly. And I will tell you in all sincerity and honesty, I would not be here today with this job, and my life would have been dramatically different had it not been for the positive influence and the belief in me by Otis Scott. A kid grew up with a speech impediment in Richland Center, kind of a nerdy kid. And in fifth grade, for whatever reason, Otis Scott took a liking to me and encouraged me and said, you should enter the soil and water, air, soil conservation speech competition. I think you had to do a 3 or 4 minute speech on conservation issues. And I mean, I had several surgeries growing up. And in fifth grade, I still had a notably speech impediment. I was born with a cleft palate and a cleft lip. And the audacity to suggest a kid like that should enter a speaking contest, but I did it. I did it. With the help of my mom and my grandmother in particular to help me kind of pull my speech together. I ended up out of the blue winning third place. And I'm not sure you ever seen a kid more happy to win third at anything. The fact that I placed. And that gave me this confidence to get up and talk to in front of people. That's where it came from. And I would not be, I would have never had the confidence to go into radio. And also, you heard me tell the story, in 1980 in fifth grade, Otis Scott divided us up between Republicans and Democrats as a social studies project and had to make bulletin boards for, you had to be a Republican or Democrat, and you had to make bulletin boards and go out and get posters, and the best bulletin board won like a Snickers bar, whichever team. And you could either choose a team or he'd put you on a team. And so my paternal grandfather, my granddad was a Republican, so I said Republican. And we ended up, you know, winning the competition. That's where I met Carol Clausius in Richland Center, the local county party chair. And I would have never met Dale Schultz, my future boss, would have never spent, you know, 25, 30 years in politics had it not been for Otis Scott teaching us about politics and campaigns and the importance of voting. And involvement. So my career in politics, my career in radio, were both the result of having a great influential teacher like Otis Scott. And I just wanted to tell his family thank you. I had the opportunity years ago to tell this to Otis to his face. And tell him I loved him and how much I appreciated him. And what an influence he is. And this isn't about me. What it's about is a reminder to all of us. Because I bet you all of us have had a Mary McCarthy or an Otis Scott in our lives who influenced us, who made us better for having known them. And I would encourage each of you, whoever that person is in your life, take time to say thank you. Take time to say you made a difference. Because we don't know how many days we get left. How many days we've got left. We don't know what our timeline is. And that's why we have to live each and every day as if it were the last. Don't be afraid to tell people thank you. It's why I have this pinned on my Twitter account. It's a quote from Scrooge, not Scrooged with Bill Murray, but Scrooge, the musical adaptation of A Christmas Carol. This is from The Ghost of Christmas Present. Quote, there is never enough time to do or say all the things that we would wish. The thing is to try to do as much as you can in the time that you have. Remember, Scrooge, time is short, and suddenly you're not here anymore. Unquote. I love that. I don't always live it. I try to every day. We have to, As Kenny Chesney says, we have to take the lemons of life and squeeze them. Squeeze the life out of lemons every single day. Otis Scott, Mary McCarthy did that. They had a huge influence on me. And I just want to say to their families, our condolences, our prayers, and may their memories of the wonderful people they were fill the grief in your heart right now. We'll be back with another great guy from Michelin Center. That is Brady Ewing. Talk all kinds of sports. Stay with us on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us on an 8:33 time and temperature sign, Friday, TGIF, May 26, 2023. It is a picture-perfect day out there, let me tell you. And for all those times when we had those nasty weather days of snow and ice and fog in the winter and the early spring, Kara Foster from Weatherology, this is your gift back to us, and we appreciate it.
And it's a gift to me, too, because nobody's mad at me.
Right? Well, very good. We've got Brady Ewing on the line up at Richland Center, so we'll get right to it. By the way, Kara, if I'm a little loopier than normal, spent some time in the ER last night fighting a kidney stone. So I am, I've got, I have a fine supply of narcotics and coffee. So I'm doing okay.
Perfect combo.
I've traded in my brats and beer for Memorial Day weekend for narcotics and coffee. I hasten to add under the prescription of a doctor.
There you go.
Not the coffee.
You gotta add that.
Right, not the coffee, but yes.
Yeah, not the coffee.
All right, Kara, my friend, what have you dialed up for us on this fine Memorial Day weekend?
Well, my goodness. I mean, this is the easiest forecast for me to say. It's literally nothing but sunshine, and temperatures are perfect. I mean, you can't get much better than this. So today, sunny with a high of 75 in Amory, sunny and 72 for Wausau, and sunny and 76 for Richland Center. We are going to stay clear overnight tonight, dip down to 48 over in Amory. 43 and clear in Wausau and 40 and clear in Richland Center. Now, as we head into the rest of the days, I mean, we're just going to be slowly climbing that temperature ladder and nothing but sunshine, like literally nothing, but not even a cloud will be in the sky throughout really anywhere in the state. It's going to be no matter where you go, if you're heading north, if you're heading south, east, west, yada, yada, whatever you're going, there's not really going to be much other than pure sunshine, highs in the upper 70s tomorrow, clear skies, lower 50s over Saturday night. Sunny once again in the upper 70s and lower 80s on Sunday, mostly clear, and back down to the 50s over Sunday evening. And then as we head into Memorial Day, we'll still be in the upper 70s and actually mid 80s by then. That day in Richland Center specifically, we'll be reaching 86. Now, as we head into next week, I'll kind of forewarn you that we are going to be kind of thrown into warmer weather. So this weekend's kind of nice. We kind of slowly climb that temperature ladder, get a little bit acclimated. And then by next week, we're just kind of tossed into the ring. So summer does start pretty fast, so you might have to, you know, prepare for that. But, I mean, a lot of great times to be had this weekend. I hope everyone enjoys it. I'm meteorologist Kara Foster.
Kara, we appreciate you so very much. Have a safe Memorial Day weekend, my friend, and whatever you plan to do, you deserve this one, so as much as anybody else. So enjoy the weather. We'll talk to you on Tuesday because we're off on Monday for the holiday.
You bet. You as well.
All right. Enjoy thanks it. A lot. My pleasure. Kara Foster from Weatherology. We appreciate her. Time now at 8:36 to welcome in our old friend who we have not seen, it feels like, in forever. And let me just tell you, Brady Ewing from Richland Center, a three-time Big Ten championship, former captain of the Badger football team, and 3 years in the league with Atlanta and Jacksonville. Brady, I spent a considerable amount of time in the hospital last night fighting a kidney stone. I'm on prescribed narcotics and coffee, well, about an hour and a half of sleep. And my immediate supervisor, or one of them, Luke Mather, said, if you want to do a repeat today, it's fine. You can take the day off.
Right.
I said, but I haven't talked to Brady in like a month, and we got so much to catch up on. So I needed my Brady time.
Well, shoot, you're making me feel special, but man, kidney stones, my wife Rachel had battled those
really
many moons ago, and that was, I think, some of the most pain she's ever been in.
Now, this is interesting.
Props to you for pushing through.
This is interesting because I've heard they people in healthcare say, well, a kidney stone is the male equivalent to having a child. So your wife, who clearly has had children and both, which was worse for her, birth or kidney stone?
I don't know.
Or equal.
I'll have to report back on that in a couple weeks. But it probably depends on which birth. There was some she got an epidural, some she waited a little bit more for. So I'll report back on that next time.
Well, women are my heroes for various reasons. But, I mean, yeah, the whole childbirth thing, I mean, we as men just cannot appreciate that, right? That's just wow.
Oh, 100%. No, that process is a miracle in itself. So to see, you know, just that miracle come to life, and it's pretty crazy.
It is.
But yeah, you're like Brett Favre. You're not going to miss a day. You know?
Well, not dissimilar
I'll
to
leave it at that.
Not dissimilar to Brett Favre. I've had a long history with prescription medicine, but all under the auspices of a doctor. I want to
add. They were prescribed to you legally for a real condition.
Yes, absolutely.
So a big difference.
And thankfully, I don't have an addictive personality. You know, so
that's good.
So that's I'm glad I don't, because, you know, in all seriousness, a lot of people do struggle with addiction, and nothing to joke about. But on my side, no, it's just I'm thankful that I got medication. But anyway, enough about my problems. Let's go on to something so much on the sports docket, Brady, and. I know you had family obligations a couple of weeks ago. Zomers decided to take the day off of turkey hunting, and I said on the air, I'm thinking that, you know, maybe Zomers hired Brady as a turkey guide. You guys were out in the woods together. But Aaron,
yeah, joke was on you, Todd.
I know I got left behind. The story of my life. Mr. Zomers, you got a turkey.
I did. Nothing too big, just a Jake, but. When you only have a couple of days to hunt, you can't be too picky.
Right.
Where were you hunting?
Over in my dad has some land near Tish Mills, so like half an hour north of Manitowoc around there. And so we were hunting there.
Awesome. Very good. Was it a good hunt or right off the roost, mid-morning, afternoon?
It was maybe 9 a.m., 8 or 9. We had been going to different places, kind of chasing them around. And then one turkey came up behind me to the right, and I'm right-handed and right-eye dominant. So that didn't work out.
Good luck turning on that one, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then we went across the street to another part and set up. And then it sounded like another group of turkeys were going to come behind us to the right. But then we called a little bit. They popped up their heads and decided to come in front instead.
There you go. So
love it. Congratulations.
Thank you. You get anything?
I didn't. No. I don't know if you were on the day last we talked. I had called in a couple and just decided to let them walk. It actually took. I don't have a six season pig. I think there's still some available if I wanted. But yesterday afternoon, took the boys out and sat in the blind for a little bit and called. Didn't take a firearm or anything like that. Just. Enjoying the afternoon with the boys, went and looked for some mushrooms, even though we haven't had rain in, you know, 2 weeks. So I wasn't too hopeful, but the boys enjoyed tromping around and trying to do their own turkey calls, and we had a good time. So
well, that's the best part anyway.
I was just going to say, I mean, I remember Brady going with my granddad squirrel hunting up on the farm, up on Highway 56 there, and some of the best times were just hanging out, even if we didn't get anything, just hanging out. So I think that's fantastic. You're taking the boys out, just let them experience that.
Oh, yeah. And it's a shift in mentality for me, because usually when I'm in hunting mode, it's like I'm by myself or with my dad. You know, it's pretty serious. We dive into it. But take a step back and focus on them and give them the experience. You know, they can't sit still a long time. They just want to explore things, you know, pick and forage different things.
And just
experience it. Look at the bark on the trees. Look at the bees, you know, swarming around the flowers that are out. So it helps me to slow down too, and I enjoy the time with them.
That's important, right? Just to take time just to slow down and pause and reflect. And so that's great. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. There's no slowdown on Badger football. We are, as of yesterday, 100 days away from the kickoff, literally and figuratively, of the much-anticipated Luke Fickell era at Camp Randall Stadium. Brady, you've gone down and seen a practice now and met some of the staff. What are your mm-hmm. thoughts? What are your feelings? Are you starting to get that? As an alum, when that happens, do you get that little kind of tingle once in a while and think, man, that was does it bring it all back for you?
It does. Yeah, getting back on campus and to practice and just around the buzz of, you know, the college kids and that environment, it does. It gives you, both from coaching and from, you know, the player's perspective. Mm. You know, when I see those guys out there colliding and doing Badger drill and doing different things, you know, my body starts to ache a little bit more. But love the excitement. You know, it is unbelievable how quick it seems like each season comes, you know, and each year goes faster and faster now for me with work and as kids get going and doing different things. But it seems like, man, season just got done, but a lot has happened in the off season. So excited to see, you know, how camp goes, how summer conditioning goes for those guys, and hopefully they can hit the ground running with high expectations. I mean, I saw somebody, you know, a picture of a TV that was up in Camp Randall that basically had a national championship trophy and a Big Ten championship trophy. So high expectations.
Yeah, pardon me, I'm okay with that. I think it's great to dream big and to expect a lot from yourself.
Yeah, 100%. And this new energy, this new excitement, I think it's good through transition. So yeah, bringing in top caliber guys and hit the ground running in the fall.
So lots of news from, I apologize, one second. Fight these darn allergies. But lots of anticipation, Brady. Also with the Big Ten. New Big Ten commissioner, Tony Petitti, who was kind of an outsider choice, a television guy. And it worked for Major League Baseball for a while and negotiated a lot of TV deals. He is now the new Big Ten commissioner taking over for Kevin Warren, who, of course, his big thing was he brought in USC and UCLA into the Big Ten starting next year. But it appears that these big new contracts for the TV deals kind of left it in a mess as they weren't finalized yet. And negotiated the TV contract.
Really?
Yeah, negotiated the TV contract as the Big Ten commissioner of the Big Ten. Only problem is the contracts are actually owned by the Big Ten Network. And so now Tony Petitti is having to come back in and basically fix all this stuff at the end. Maybe the bigger news in all this hubbub was from the president of Nebraska a couple weeks ago, who says he believes there's going to be even more movement in terms of possible expansion of the Big Ten this year. He threw out the University of Miami because apparently the ACC is crumbling, or because Clemson and Florida State want bigger deals like the Big Ten or the SEC. And so now the big play, and Notre Dame, of course, is part of the ACC for football purposes now. And so, or everything but football, I should say. And so everybody wants Notre Dame. And so the thought is if the Big Ten can pull in the University of Miami, Florida, they also might get Notre Dame in this deal. What are your takes on this?
Wow. Well, I'm learning some of it today. I don't keep up as I probably should on some of this stuff. But one, I think that's a surprise and a shock to me that TV deal wasn't done.
Yeah.
And to keep the Big Ten Network, you know, I don't know what type of commitment they have for them long term, but to keep that as some part of the deal is interesting. And I just think that Big Ten commissioners in the college sports realm in general have a tough job here as name, image, likeness continues, as consolidation of conferences continues. It's no doubt opportunity, but it's a big challenge to navigate these times and to come in as a new commissioner with your back already in the wall a little bit. I'm not envious of that position at all.
What do you think of this, Brady? Because on this name, image, and likeness stuff now, There's even, and now with the talk of maybe the Big Ten going after Miami of Florida or somebody else in the ACC, there's this whole talk now about, you know, that really college football, college sports in general, have become another version of professional sports. How do, as a former Big Ten athlete, having played before name image like this, and now seeing it now, what are your thoughts on that?
I think I agree with it, honestly. To put yourself in a college kid coming out of school, if you're a big-time recruit, 18, 17, 18, 19 years old, and to put yourself in a position where you're getting money and contracts thrown at you, I mean, you got to grow up pretty darn quick,
right,
to the point where you you know, are handling your business both on the field and off the field. So it's going to be interesting to see how it transpires.
Got to break, Brady. Back with Brady Ewing after this. Stay with us on the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media.
These boots have counted off many a band, playing one-night roadhouse stands for tips and empty rooms. These boots.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 8:50 of the time and temperature sign. Brady Ewing, Richland Center native and three-time Big Ten champion, former captain of the Wisconsin Badgers football team, and 3 years played for the NFL for Atlanta and Jacksonville combined, joins us for his bi-weekly visit, as per usual. And Brady and I were chatting via text, and good news, as we prepare to move to our new time slot beginning Monday, June 5th, we'll be going to 1 to 3 in the afternoon. So the show will be 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock each and every afternoon, Monday through Friday, beginning Monday, June 5th. And Brady, you have been so kind and gracious to say you're going to come on along. So we appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I always enjoy our conversations and providing a little background and perspective to some of my experiences. So hopefully the fun times continue. I expect they will.
Yeah, and we're not just the time change, but now we're going to be statewide. And so we'll be in Madison, Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, Green Bay, Appleton, Hayward, Eau Claire, La Crosse, across the state. So if people don't know you already, you know, a big chance for more folks to get to know Brady Ewing, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We always appreciate you, so thanks for and in all sincerity, Brady, to you and to Kira Saban, also one of our regular recurring guests, to Trigvi Olson, to Mr. Zommers, and all of our listeners, we appreciate you, because we would not have gotten this shot, this opportunity, without you, and so we appreciate you being a part of the team, Brady.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's a pleasure. I get the easy job of just jumping on for 30 minutes every 2 weeks. So you fill up the time and provide different perspectives all the time. So,
well, but you've got the experience.
Glad to be a small part of it.
Well, you're a large part of it, Brady. We appreciate it. Big news this week from the NFL in Green Bay. The Packers, it has been announced, Green Bay, Lambeau Field and Titletown will host the 2025 draft. What do you make of that, Brady?
Awesome. I think it's fantastic. I think it's great for Green Bay. I think everybody around the country, especially Wisconsin, knows the history of Lambeau Field and Green Bay from a football perspective. So to have the country and the world, you know, descend on Green Bay, Wisconsin for the draft, I think will be fantastic. Sounds like, I think Mark Murphy said it's going to be the biggest event ever in Green Bay history, yeah. Something like that.
Yep.
So to have that many people there, both from a tourism perspective, but also just a big stage like that, will be really, really cool. So I'm sure I have a buddy, actually Paul Anier,
who is
a Richland Center native, lives in the greater Green Bay area. So we were talking about that here earlier this week, and he's super excited and figuring out if he can get his some of his kids down there who enjoy sports and football. And so it's going to be good excitement for everybody in the area, but others to come enjoy Wisconsin that is such an amazing place.
Well, it's obviously a year and a half off or so, or a couple of years off, but to mark the calendar, because, you know, we have a new station there in Green Bay, and the station is just down the road from Lambeau Field. So we'll do a live broadcast up there, an NFL draft broadcast. So if you're able to, come on along, and we'll do it live from Green Bay. That'd be a hoot. So
that would be really good.
Yeah, well,
let's do it.
Let's look forward to that in 2025. I don't want to go too far down the political road with you, Brady, but just a reflection, because it was yesterday, some lawmakers, and in a bipartisan, both Republicans and Democrats yesterday up in Green Bay, suggesting that the state of Wisconsin taxpayers should help pay for part of this, a couple, $3 million, in order to help fund the NFL draft coming to Green Bay. At the same time, you've got down in Milwaukee, of course, they want to do, to the tune of about $200, $250 million, upgrades to AmFam Field. And other folks are saying, no, we shouldn't use taxpayer money for that. Of course, the Brewers are saying if it doesn't happen, they might entertain leaving town. What are just, without going into partisan politics, what's just your overall sense as an athlete, both high school, college, and professional athlete? What are your thoughts on, you know, should taxpayers be expected to put in for things like the draft in Green Bay and AmFam Field, or do you think that should just be left up to the owners and the league?
You know, honestly, my first blush thought is these teams and these organizations are making sufficient funds to where they should be able to support some of that stuff. That's just my first blush answer.
Yeah.
You know, the draft is something that I think is going to bring a lot of economic stimulation to the area for, you know, a weekend. So that one, I could see going both ways or, you know, figuring out some way to share that. But, you know, these teams and these organizations are doing fine financially. And I would say my first blush, I'd say, you know, pony up, figure it out. This is your business. Yes, there's greater good that comes to the state or to the local taxpayers, but you're doing just fine to support yourself and get rolling.
Yeah, I kind of think the same thing. I mean, the NFL draft, it seems like that one especially. I'm just like, you know what? I mean, they're paying, and players should get paid. You know, it's a short career for most NFL players. And so I'm all for making, you know, for players to make what they can while they're there. But it seems like that if they're going to advocate and want the draft, they should have figured out how to pay for it before they went out and solicited it, right? But the Brewers Stadium, I guess that's one where, and by the way, I think I read a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that the draft is expected to bring like 90 some million dollars into the state as a whole just for the draft.
Wow.
And then you look at Milwaukee though, and it's like, look, if you don't invest in this, and I mean, think about the millions of dollars over the lifetime of a professional sports franchise, the economic development there. That one I could kind of see more of an investment, but I don't know. I'm kind of with you. I think that, you know, when you look at the millions of dollars that these teams are spending and making, it seems like they should be able to pony up.
Well, I'm sure they're able to. They can extort taxpayers.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just like any other business, right? I mean, you look at different business entities and, you know, they're always reinvesting in their infrastructure. And,
right.
I guess my perspective would be similar.
Just about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left here, Brady. Our time always goes too fast. Your former teammate, J.J. Watt, in the news. First, he is now an investor in a football, not soccer, but football club in the U.K. And now it appears that NBC is courting J.J. Watt to come on board as part of a dual role in the Sunday Night Football franchise, as well as their new Big Ten Game Day show on Saturdays, as NBC is going to be part of the Big Ten package. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, first, I think JJ would do really well at that and provide great perspective. So I think I love hearing, you know, some people have different thoughts on Tony Romo and others, but I love hearing former players' perspectives.
Yeah.
You know, the way, just thinking Tony Romo specifically, the way he breaks down defenses, predicts plays, you know, gives thoughts on what the quarterback's looking at. I love that side
of
it.
Me too.
So I always enjoy former players. Troy Aikman, I thought, was, you know, good back in the day too. Enjoy that perspective, whether it be on the pregame show stuff or during the game itself. So I think it would be fantastic. For some reason, I was thinking about that. I thought he said he didn't want to get into that when he got done playing, though. So I'm thinking of another former player. But,
you know, they keep adding zeros, Brady, to that contract. Yeah. And you start rethinking things real quick, right? All right.
Yeah, I can make my type of money. Or his,
right.